I have been feeling oh so blue. I always thought that you would love me. I don't know what I should do. Do do.
One of you. Welcome to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall. And I see we already have people coming on our call queries, so we'll be jumping right in. I want to welcome you all tonight to our show. This is Open Chat. And of course, this is about whatever's on your mind tonight. If you have something, you want to give someone a special shout out, or if you want to recite a poetic expression, or maybe you just need to vent, or if you just need someone to listen, well, tonight is for you here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. And for the most part, I hope that you all had a beautiful, beautiful week. But just in case, your week was kind of rough. I know I wasn't feeling myself this week at all. I was very out of whack and out of sort. So for me, it's been a pretty rough week. And I know that I'm ready for a major change. But, you know, with that said, we do have a caller online already. So we're going to welcome Tea Lady 1209 to Healing Through Hurt. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, so far.
What's going on?
Okay. I'm just calling to vent. My week has been pretty up and down. Mm-hmm. I am like a 23-year-old girl, and I'm living by myself, and I have chosen to take the walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say take the walk, I'm trying to, you know, build a relationship with God and just trying to live my life accordingly. I have, during the last couple of weeks, I have tried to reach out to plenty of people who claim to be, you know, Christian, very active in the church. And it frustrates me when people tell you you can call them and they're here for you. And mm-hmm. then when you call them, they never answer, or they, like, just push you off. Like, I feel like if you didn't want to be there for someone, why say it?
Because, you know, a lot of people do things. Someone sent an email maybe last week, and it was about, you know, how people get down on their knees and they say their prayers, you know, the Lord's Prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, Our Father who art in heaven. And the question was, are you just saying the words, or do you actually mean it? You know, a lot of people, especially in what I do, before I did this, I was in television for a while and entertainment, basically. And sometimes people want to be on the forefront and they want to be involved, but they're not about, you know, what they're talking. They just want to say, yeah, I'm a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, when you're about to take that walk with God, especially,
mm-hmm.
I call it the weed, seed, and feed time. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're going to learn who the cream of the crop is and who the cream of the crap is.
Mm-hmm.
And those types of people, you just pretty much learn how to, okay, you're not the person that I need for my walk. And what happens is your circle will become smaller and smaller. And mm-hmm. sometimes you'll find what you're looking for in the face of a stranger, and you'll hear the words that you need out of the mouths of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one thing that you always learn is a lot of times they always say, if you're trying to start a new business, you don't depend on your friends and family, because mm-hmm. they're the main ones that won't help you be successful most of the time, not all of the time, but most, because they're the ones that want that free ride and that handout. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you're obliged to do that. And a lot of people who say that they're
about
God
and helping
people,
no,
they're not.
I'm starting to really see that. You know, it's been really hard for me because, you know, I was really involved in, like, the nightlife, because I do live in Atlanta. And, you know, just being different and choosing to be celibate. And I, you know, I was listening to, like, a couple of people on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, mm-hmm. when I met them, they were wonderful people. And, you know, I wouldn't say anything bad about them. And they were just telling me what I need to do. And, you know, I listened, and I broke up with my boyfriend. And it's like I'm all by myself, and I seem like it's nobody. It's only one person I can really communicate to, and I just really feel so by myself. I can't even talk to my family because they don't understand my reasoning for doing the things that I do. It's just like a point in my life where I can really say I feel completely lonely. Like, I feel like me purposeless, like I am like idle, but I'm working on trying to get my master's, but right now I just feel idle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
and
like,
go ahead.
And it's just really frustrating, you know, like it's a Saturday and I'm sitting here, and it's really different for me, like, not to be out. And it's like, I really have nobody that I feel like I can, you know, connect with, as far as, I know another person is doing the same thing, but it's like mm-hmm. different. So it's like, I feel really alone in this process. And it's starting to get to me, because I want to hear from God, and what everybody else is telling me what they hear from is not what I'm hearing. I'm actually not hearing anything, in my, you know, opinion.
Let me say this, because what other people are hearing from God is for them to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you need to hear from God. And that's number one. And number two, you know, if you give in to the temptation and you go back out there and you're partying, and then you're going to be in that environment where, yeah, you're partying and you're having a good time, but it's going to be so loud, if God were to talk to you, you wouldn't be able to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell women, you know, when I do this show, that when you're on that walk, number one, it is a lonely, or it appears to be a lonely walk. But I look at everything that in divine timing, and your destiny is what it is. You just need to stay true to yourself and to God, and it's all going to come together. And even you calling in tonight, it was for a reason, because you're a young lady. I have a daughter-in-law who happens to live in Georgia, and mm-hmm. She's a few years older than you, but she went through that lonely phase too. And there's a lot of young people who I network with, especially if you're on Facebook, or we are here, or I'm here. If no one else is, I'm usually here every single Saturday evening. And believe you me, for me, it's a matter of fact, it looks like my daughter-in-law just logged into the chat room. So she's here, and I'm sure she's listening to this, but she could probably relate to you better and tell you how it would be and how she feels, because she's on her new walk of faith too.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she has a family, you know, sometimes it can be lonely because when my son and her got married, they left here in Maryland and they moved to Georgia, and she left everything and everyone that she knew behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's nice that she has her husband and her children and things, but, you know, it's different when you're in a brand new place and you don't know anybody. And once you start to take that walk, that leap of faith, and you're on that special walk, things are going to change for you. And sometimes I always say, this is what you do. You're working on your master's. And at 23, you know, in this day and age, you know, that's something to be admired. But use this time. I don't know if you like showers or baths, but get yourself, go to Bath and Body Works or whatever is popular down there in ATL,
mm-hmm.
and light some candles, turn on some smooth music, whatever you like, your favorite genre of music. And you light those candles and you sit in that hot bubble bath and just listen. And sometimes when you clear the clutter, when you clear all of that wants and those needs out of your mind, things come to you. If nothing but that peace and that quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after a while, even for me, I used to always call them, before I got married, I used to always call them date capades. And I would go out dating and things. Even at my age, you know, I can turn a few heads. I'm still pretty vibrant. I'm out there. So when my life took a change and I decided to go in a different direction, and trust me, I'm on that walk too. I may be one of the people paving the road for you, but, and then of course there's someone ahead paving the road for me too.
Mm-hmm.
But there are nights when I actually hear the silence, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I may feel the loneliness, but I know that this is part of the process. It's part of the test. It's part of the walk that we have to go on. And any time that you take that walk, it's going to be lonely. But I would take that time if you're in school now. I know most semesters just started in January, or if you have one of those stagnated starts, they're getting ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
Get a heads up on your work. Find something to do. Like I said, if you're on Facebook, you can find us on Facebook. There's a lot of people there you can network with. There's another lady who's doing some great things she's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that she could help you out. And when you change like this, when you choose to make this change, everything changes. The people who you hang out with, because even if you did, if you're sincere about your walk, all of a sudden, these people that you're hanging out with won't matter like that anymore. And you won't even be excited to be around them, because what they're talking about, what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
you'll lose interest in that.
Yeah.
And you're not alone, because if nothing more, myself, the people in my support group, all the other ladies, I'm here every Saturday evening, most Saturday evenings, unless I'm sick or something comes up. But we're here. We can talk all night. We can talk when the show ends.
Yep.
We can chit-chat. We can do a lot of things that will get your mind off of that and to let you know that you're not alone.
Yes.
You know, this is a place. When I created this, it was created just for this fact, where people like you, you want to talk? Great. And it's even therapeutic for me, because even though it's my show and I host it, I get something out of talking to you and listening to you talk, because then I'm not sitting up here listening to that silence either.
Mm-hmm.
And before I know it, tomorrow's coming and it's a brighter day. And here it's snowing. So
yeah.
I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but, you know, it'll be, it's just a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And you have to really hold fast to your faith. And I'll tell you this, when you're there and you're really there, you get that sense of understanding and that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
And you get it. And each day will become easier. Not saying that you'll never backslide where you just get that need to remember when, so to speak, but you know, it is different. I can tell you that it's very different.
Yeah.
And you just have to find people with like mind and like goals and like interests. Do you have a church home down there, or are you trying to do this walk by yourself?
I do have a church home, and it's a really big church. I don't know if you heard it. It's by Bishop Delcy Bronner's Word of Faith. And it's a real big church, and, you know, it's kind of hard to network, and and networking, you know, is not a problem with me. I talk to strangers. You see where I'm calling, you know, to talk. So talking has never been an issue for me. It's just, you know, it's just kind of hard to network when everybody's kind of on the move trying to get out or get in. And, you know, I've been trying to do this. Me and my friend who lives in Atlanta, she, you know, lives on the other side of, you know, town. But we've been trying to do this. And, you know, I guess I'm accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Like, I'm a people person, and just, like, being isolated in the house and not being able to, like, talk. And, like, I'm trying to get my career off the ground and, you know, every time I try something like volunteering, you know, it just seems like it's just been such a struggle just to do something so simple like volunteering. Like, it's just like a hassle, or I missed a date, or it's just been like I try to call people, nobody answers, and this is like a first time for everything. So it's kind of hard for me because in the midst of things, I had my grandmother before to call, but she passed away last year this month. And so it's been like that. I'm dealing with that. And, you know, and I have my ex-boyfriend making me feel guilty about just breaking up with him for no apparent reason. So it's just sometimes it's just so overwhelming not being where I want to be with, you know, with a bachelor's degree and still working part-time. It's just a lot, but I'm still trying to remain in my faith, but I get so frustrated at times.
Right.
That, you know, I just, you know, I like to overachieve. Right now, I guess things aren't going how I thought they would. And it's just frustrating, but I know God has a plan for me. It's just, I guess I have to be patient, but I know while I'm waiting, I would love to, like, have, like, a support group, and it's just so hard to find down here. You know, I don't have a problem with waiting because I know everything is done in divine order, but it's like the isolation is, like, really getting to me because, like, I can be out there helping someone. You know, I'm, like, the way how you like to talk and listen, I like to do the same things. But it's just, like, I feel like my gift or the things I'm supposed to do is going nowhere. Like, I'm not being used. I'm just sitting here being non-productive.
Well, you can look at it in that negative way, or you can look at it as though you're being fine-tuned right now. Now is not your season. Now is your time to listen and prepare for what's coming ahead. And right now, it's not your season. And I feel that way. You know, I lost everything recently. And starting at my age from ground zero, yeah, I'm an overachiever. Yeah, I like things done, and I'm used to getting things done. But when you're knocked back down, I can either stay here and
be mad at myself and blame the world and be bitter and all of that. But for me, I look at it that I'm right here where God put me back here for a reason. So I have nowhere to go but up. And I knew the level that I achieved in my last lifetime, this lifetime, now that I'm coming into rebirth again, mm-hmm. I know that I am planning on exceeding that level. But again, everything happens for that particular reason. You're 23.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself, you know, 23, working on a master's in this day and age, most young people don't even think about college, and half can't even spell college. So, again, you have to find that right support group. And if by any chance you are on Facebook,
which I
you
am.
Can look up Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there and like it, then I will put you in touch with some people in Atlanta, in
mm-hmm.
Georgia, who, of course, you can speak with and help on that walk of faith. And good welcome to all of the people in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining me here this evening. And if you've been listening and you would like to call in and talk to my caller this evening, our number is 646-478-4726. Give us a call. Give her some words of encouragement if you feel a need to do so. Because it's always good to hear other people say that. But I'll tell you, if you get with me or you want to send me a personal email, I'll give you my personal email, which is mariawall@thewallfoundationinc.org. If you ever need to talk, you can reach me there. You can always reach me on Facebook. I don't like people to give out all of their information on air, but if you go to Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio and let me know, just say hello there. I'll know who you are, and then I'll put you on my, because I'm blocked on my regular name is blocked on Facebook, but I will bring you on, and I will get you in touch with some people who can probably give you that encouragement that you need, because everybody needs somebody. And like I said, sometimes it might not be that person who is right in your own neighborhood. It may be that person that lives in Kentucky or Tennessee or Florida. But sometimes you don't need to be with that person physically. As long as you have that person where you can talk to and have that cerebral conversation, sometimes that means a lot, because, you know, when you have nobody to talk to but your pet and your goldfish or whatever and a couple of walls, it does start to close in on you, and it makes you feel like you can't breathe and you need to break free again. So don't look at it that you're alone. Just look at it that everything about you is evolving and changing, and with that change comes new people in your life.
Okay.
And they're coming in one way or another. And, you know, it's so funny because some people, a lot of people tend to listen to the show, and it's so funny because they will then contact me after the show, or if they know what the show is about, they'll send me their questions or comments before the show, because they still don't like to be on air.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I'll sit up here and I'll read Q&A. I'll do my little Q&A because I have those. And then the next week I'll respond to things that people have wrote to me after the show. Because what will happen is you might have some people that will want to reach out to you. But that's why I say contact me on Facebook, because that way I can keep putting you in touch with people who really do want to help and be there to talk to you in every way, and just give you that boost of encouragement that you really do need.
And I definitely appreciate it. I did go to your page on Facebook and liked it. So I wrote like a little message under your, I think it was announcing that you were having your radio show tonight.
Okay.
So I wrote a little message under it saying who I was.
And once I get off air, I'll respond to that, and I'll get you on. I'll friend you on my personal page, and I'll introduce you to some people there in your area who will be able to guide you in the right direction, maybe get you involved with some. I have a sister there who's doing some great things,
mm-hmm.
and with her organization. So you may be able to hook up and work with her.
Okay.
Whether it be volunteer, but it's what you're looking for, and that's what we are about. I have another group, but we're local. Well, we're more up here on this end. We do Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Delaware, Jersey. But
mm-hmm.
It's another women's group, and we have all ages there.
Okay.
And but the group on Facebook, it's a private group of powerhouse women, and that's what we do. We're here to help anyone who wants to be helped, and for all age groups. So then maybe you all can set up something that'll help you mentor and get out there. And we're having a large rally in May
mm-hmm.
in Washington, D.C. I have partnered with another organization out of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a big rally against all types of abuse, child sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
of course, domestic violence and all of that. So if you really want to get involved, you're probably talking to not the only person, but one of the people that knows how to get you out there if that's where you want to be.
Well, thank you so much, because that's actually, that's actually where I'm getting my master's, and I want to be a licensed social worker for child abuse. And so that's something that I'm trying to work on actually right now. So that sounds wonderful.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know you. I've never spoken to you before tonight, but
yeah,
all of a sudden now, you're hearing things that's what you want to do, and I just happen to have brought it up. And I always say that when I do my shows, they're never scripted, because I always say that God is going to give me what to say, and he's going to make this show what he wants it to be. So tonight was about you calling in, and there are people listening who I'll probably hear from after the show who will want to know who you are and probably, you know, want to reach out. Because, so your major is what in schools? Psychology?
I have a bachelor's in psychology. Trying to start just waiting for responses from schools. I'm originally from New Jersey, so I applied to, like, Rutgers and Keene, and down mm-hmm. here, of course, like Clark Atlanta and Georgia State. So just it's either moving back home or staying down here in Atlanta. But either place, I'm still trying to get the volunteer experience
mm-hmm.
and work with children, because I just want to be that. Because I know as a child, I was a very strong-minded kind of kid. Like, they didn't have to really tell me what to do. I, you know, was on top of my grades. But still, in a sense, I always wanted that guidance. I didn't have nobody to talk to. And I was always, like, that person that listened to my friends. And it's just, and just helping people and children, just love for children became my passion, and I want to help kids because I want to be that person that they can look up to and be like, I can come to Tunisia if I need someone to talk to, or, you know, I just want mm-hmm. to be there for them. Because when, like, just right now, when you don't have somebody to talk to, and I'm just so thankful that you're here to listen to me, because I was just really, like, angry at the fact that I was just sitting here. So you made my day.
Well, I'm glad. You know, and that's what, when I guess gave birth to this, because Healing Through Hurt is kind of my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a place that I knew that in order for me to heal from all of my hurts, I was compelled to be able to develop something where I could reach a further audience. I started my nonprofit a few years ago to work with at-risk youth and their families. But I discovered that the problem was a lot broader. I had to heal the parents in their lives, the adults in their lives, before I could heal the children. Because if they kept going back to the same environment, everything that I would do would be in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this show for a year before I did anything with it. But when my world fell apart, it all came together. And I said, healing through hurt, that's it. And I'm always in shock and awe of the people that I have come across just from doing this show. A few weeks ago, I had Connie Lee on. She's the founder of Families Against Child Sexual Abuse, FACSA, out of Louisiana. And I had a person come into the chat room. She didn't call, but she was from Southwest Asia. And she was reaching out for help. So she had given me all of her information, and Connie and I had contacted people that we knew that could probably check out her story and things and try to get her out of the situation that she was in.
Mm-hmm.
So I never know who I'm going to come across, and that's why, you know, so many people do shows and they're very scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get anything out of it. And like you say, when people have those empty promises and empty words, it tends to hurt after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get tired of it. And
yeah,
it's like, really, is this what humankind has come down to?
Scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get anything out of it.
And it's crazy. It's just, it's depressing. After a while, it really is.
Because it's just like, and I think, and I told myself, once I get in that position to make a promise to someone to be there for them, I truly want to try my best to always, you know, do what I say. Because by me, like, by a person, when I'm looking for someone, you know, reaching out to someone, because it takes a lot of courage to get on a radio or talk to a stranger, because you just never know how they can respond to you. So if someone says that to you and make that promise to you, they don't know how much they brighten their day and really make their day. And it's just like a kid at Christmas and, you know, expecting that it's going to be gifts under the tree, and they're disappointed. Like, I'm, like, expecting them to call me back and, you know, give me guidance like they said they were. And it's just like, yeah, I said that, but... And it's just like, sometimes it upsets me because people don't realize how much they can influence or help someone. And by them not keeping their promises or not keeping up with what they're telling people, that can really hurt someone, and they truly don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise myself, once I get there, I'm really going to be there for people. When I tell them I'm going to be there, I'm going to do it, because I know just being in this position, it really sucks. Like, I reached out to so many people, like, because I couldn't understand, you know, I hear a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio or just in church, and you were just saying, like, what they hear for God is from them, but I was like, I was trying to understand, like, what am I doing that's different from them? And I'm like, am I not, I pray every morning, and I'm like, I'm truly, truly, like, trying to build a relationship, and I'm like, I really want to hear from God. And they're telling me, well, you got to do this. Well, I'm asking women to be my mentor, you know, just looking for guidance, because, you know, I was raised with my mom and my dad, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mom is so busy with, you know, working. I never got that chance to talk to her, and it's kind of awkward talking to her about stuff like that. So it's kind of hard. So, and plus she doesn't understand my walk, like my leap of faith. So I would like to talk to someone who had a like mind. And I mean, I try to reach out, and I mean, it's like, it's really hard. And I didn't expect that in like the Christian environment. And it's just such a disappointment.
But there's a lot of people out there who claim to be Christians who mm-hmm. have no clue what it is, what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people that I know that may not go to church every Sunday, but they're the best people that I know. And some of the worst people that I know go to church every Sunday and try their best to get in there early enough so they can get as close to the front row as they can be. But, you know, and I'm not knocking anyone's religion, anyone's belief. That's not what I'm saying. But most people know exactly what I'm saying
mm-hmm.
and who they can relate what I'm saying, you know, to in their lives. But again, think about it. It's so interesting that you called here tonight, and I happen to have a daughter-in-law who will be graduating soon with her psychology degree. Finding a job in Georgia is hard.
Yes,
she wants to be ready when her time comes as well. Here you are, trying to work on your master's degree in psychology, find your niche in life, and get things started. And you said that you were waiting for God to give you an answer. Well, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm this great whatever, but maybe this is part of your journey to pick up that phone, dial those numbers, and call in tonight so that we could talk. And now I know that you're there. And once the show is over, I'm going to get you in contact with a whole slew of people. We're going to become like your surrogate moms. We're going to help to encourage you and motivate you and keep you going. And it just so happens that I do have people in Georgia where you are that you can connect with and network with. So again,
thank you so much.
It's not in your time. It's not in my time. It's in God's time. And tonight is your next step in your journey. So that's how, you know, you should look at life as a whole. Don't look at it that it's holding you back, because now, you know, you'll have so many more people. You'll have me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always an email. Usually I'm on Facebook in some form. So you want to send a note. You know, I may not be able to sit down and chit-chat with you on the phone, but I'll be able to talk to you through emails and you know, messages and things like that. And all the other ladies will be there to answer your questions and encourage you. And if my daughter-in-law has time in her day, because she has two little ones too, and, you know, she may want to reach out and connect, and she's in Georgia, so you never know.
Okay.
But a change is coming, and that's the one thing that you should always know, is that a change is coming, but it's coming in that divine timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people want it right then and there. And then if you had everything that you're seeking right now, that may overwhelm you, and then you may discover that you weren't ready for all of that.
Yeah.
So it's just one day at a time, and it will happen the way it's supposed to, because you are right now at your age. They used to say that the world is your oyster. So you have a lot of time to discover a lot of things, if nothing more than going to the aquarium, you know, going to the underground.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. When you smile, you never know who's going to smile back and who you may meet. You know, it's so funny. The last, when I was in Georgia, my daughter-in-law used to joke because I would go out, because I always drive down.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come back, I've met more people than a little bit. Because all I do is just smile and people just tend to start talking. And I don't know why,
mm-hmm.
but I meet all kinds of connections and people, and it's amazing who you may meet, but you have to come outside of that comfort zone. And so many people are not willing to do that. So they won't call into the show. They won't talk and see what may happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this show is evident that you have to take that leap of faith. And
yeah.
and even with, you know, like you say, you've listened to a few shows. Not all shows are created equal. Not all hosts are created equal. And I'll tell you, my son has a new show. He just started tonight, his inaugural show. So if you go to Game Caviar and then the number one, he mm-hmm. does a show. His is all about gaming. But he's a young person with a lot of followers. And another great show, pass it along to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you network with the young people. And they're all in the South. And he has a lot of friends who are probably on the right path. And his wife, of course, has they're walking their path and their faith and
mm-hmm.
moving along and their walk as well. And it's been a journey for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you really do have connections now, and doing you'll be doing some great things before you know it. But you have me now, and you will see that I'm true to life. It's so funny, I had a guest I'll have on probably next month. When she first called, she left a nice long message, and I called her back, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, it's really you." And I said, "Well, yeah." You know, she says, most people don't call back, and when they do, it's not that person. It's someone else. And I said, no, I still answer my emails. I still return phone calls.
And that
if you're in crisis, I'm there.
And that's something to, like, I mean, it's a blessing that you do, because I mean, so many people are just, you'll be surprised how many people tell you that they
no, I won't.
You, I don't. Yeah, you probably already know. It's just, I just couldn't believe it. Like, it was a disappointment, but you know, today I'm really excited because it seems like you're doing, like, the things that you're doing, I'm really interested in. And, you know, I'm just really excited now because, you know, I've been down here in Atlanta, and I'm trying to, like, find just anything I can. I want to really help people. Like, I don't want to stay here and, you know, just not be, like, I know it's so many people that need help, and, you know, I evaluated my life and, you know, just in relationships and how you can invest so much money for materialistic things, and this can be helping someone, you know, instead
right.
of, like, I was just thinking about all the things that I, you know, helped my ex-boyfriend with, and I'm like, you know, I could have helped someone who really needed it. And it was, I just want to start investing my time in someone who's going to truly appreciate it, you know, like a child in need or, you know, a homeless person. And just wasting money on material things, I'm really, like, tired of doing, you know, doing that. I really want to help people. And that's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, because you'll be surprised. I'm pretty sure the homeless person appreciate it. So, yeah, I really want to start doing that. I don't know why it's been a journey trying to get involved. I didn't, is, you know, since I was out of school for, like, I graduated in May. I've been out of school for a couple of months. This has been so hard trying to get involved. And but now I'm starting to get excited again. And now I have something to look forward to. And just the support group is, like, just thinking about it is really making my day, because I just like hands-on and just helping. So,
right.
Well,
you have it. You have it now. And we're about our word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the, I think that is the best part about it. And believe you me, I'll tell you, I'm 48. So for me, I'm just finding all the right people for my niche, because I've dealt with the cream of the crap for so long, you know. Trying to uplift and support and network with the right with people to help their businesses and their ventures become successes. But they just want to take fast money, fast fame, you know, and then try to cut you out of your own programs and things. And your everything that you work for to put in place to help pull them up, then they want to try to pull you down and throw you off the cliff. So you're going to come across that a lot, a lot. And sometimes it feels like you have no one to depend on but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But again, a lot of times I have found a lot more support and interest in, you know, words out of the mouths of strangers, and that smile from a stranger is what sometimes will make my day and keep me going.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the part that you just have to keep reminding yourself of that and remembering that, because that's just, it seems like that's where people are. We're in a me first country, we're in a me first society, and nobody really cares. Now, if you suddenly became this popular person and you were somebody in fame and you were on television, those same people that never returned a call would be right there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's weed, seed, and feed. And you know the cream of the crop from the cream of the crap.
Yep.
And you know when to let some people go. This is a new season for you. They say that 2012 is the year of change. So everything may be changing for you now. You know, it's just that time. And sometimes if you're not finding what you're looking for. What I had to do, because when I had a for-profit business and I was working with a large nonprofit here with, I used to work with foster children.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was too much always working with someone else and being under someone else. So I founded my own nonprofit, you know, and it's a IRS recognized 501c3. Because a lot of people start to form these so-called nonprofits, and they say, well, no, I haven't done the paperwork with the IRS, but I'm a nonprofit. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Until the IRS says that you're a nonprofit, you're not a nonprofit. You're just a company not making any money. But, you know, that doesn't deem you as a legal 501c3. But the people that I work with, the majority of them, some of them have great programs, but we kind of pair up because some of us are nonprofits and others have great programs, but they don't have that 501c3 status. So we pair up.
Uh-huh.
So either way, they're great programs doing great things. And right now I'm working with people from all over, from New York to Louisiana, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, all over, just all over to Utah. So, you know, I'm all over the U.S. And, you know, you're coming into, you'll meet a group of people later on this evening that are really going to be there for you to encourage you. Now, of course, we're all over the place and we're very busy, but I can say for me, and I'm sure some of these other ladies are never too busy not to have that ear when you need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm don't have a lot of time during the week because I have to get up really early in the morning and I have a long commute to and from work. But the weekend, I'm here. Next week, I'll be right here on Healing Through Hurt, thing, doing whatever it is I'm going to do next week. I haven't even decided yet.
Well,
so
I appreciate it so much. Like, I mean, I can't even describe how I feel right now because, I mean, it's just, like you said, it's like the people that I hang around is, like, totally different because, you know, me and my friends, we, you know, the rest of them, we don't really have nothing in common anymore. You know, if it's not trying to go to, you know, the local Applebee's and get $3 drinks and I just don't have an interest in, like, the clubs anymore. And I try to explain that to them. And, you know, they try to drag me along and be like, well, you know, just because you give yourself to God doesn't mean you have to stop your friend. And I'm saying, I'm not saying that I'm not having fun. I'm just saying I don't have an interest in it anymore. And they just can't seem to, you know, respect that. So sometimes it gets kind of, you know, frustrating with that, you know, with them saying that. And they say I can talk to them, but then when I do talk to them, and that they always saying, well, just because you gave your life to God doesn't mean you have to do this, that. And then I'm not trying to, like, I am trying to change, but I don't have an interest in things. So now, like, getting with people, like, with like minds is starting to become exciting because I was starting to feel, like, frustrated, like, pushed into, like, a corner. Should I, like, compromise and, you know, live the life but serve God? And I'm like, I just can't do it. I lived the life and it's just not for me. And I know that I really want to serve God completely. Like, I don't want to do it half. Like, you know, I'm honestly, like, this is like my third time at it. I'm going to say my second. I went, the first time I tried to walk with God, I was still in college, and I was trying to reach out to so many people at the church, and like you were saying, like, you had a call, like, a person who was surprised to get a phone call. Like, I couldn't, I mean, I had people who told me, like, text me, call me, and I would text.
You know what? I'm going to hold on 1 second. We have another caller on here.
Okay,
stay
cool.
Right there. Let's see if they want to, they may have a comment for you. Hold on a second. So caller 8745, we're going to welcome you to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. I pretty much have a comment, or I guess a story that I wanted to tell about a situation that I'm going through currently. I want to know how does someone heal through hurt. I mean, it makes sense, but in a way, like, I'm just trying to figure out because, I mean, I've been hearing so much advice from different people, most judgmental, a lot of people trying to pass, you know, their life experience or, you know, as advice, and it doesn't fit me. Like, my situation is very unique and complex. I was left several years by a man that I really, really cared about. And I'm not going to say this person has moved on because this person still doesn't know what he wants. I think it's foolish that, you know, someone would value someone based on, you know, looks and material things, and they're really honestly don't know the person deep enough, long enough to actually determine whether you're truly in love with that person. So I'm going to say this person is just, you know, still trying to find himself. I mean, you can live with someone for 10 years and have a child with them and still be on a journey to looking for, you know, self-completion or just trying to find yourself, so.
Right.
So, with this being said, we've been separated. Me and this person has been separated, so we're not together. So, part of me looks through the glass and say, okay, well, he has a wife, kids, and, you know, he's pretty much financially stable. But those are material things. And if you look hard enough through the looking glass and you continuously try to keep, you know, thinking or, you know, dictate or really try to make sense of a situation that is no longer, you know, your right anymore. Like, once a person step out of your life and they leave you, it's pretty much not your right to say, okay, well, I'm going to monitor you, follow you, try to figure out what it is, what your plans are. I mean, pretty much it just left me with nothing. I blame myself for this because the whole time I could have been moving on and starting a whole life, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, move on, start a life. Easier said than done. Those are coming from people who have not been in my shoes yet or who have not been in a situation that's so hurtful that you lose a sense of who you are. You don't care for anything anymore. You fall deep in depression. You have no zest for life. Working out becomes a struggle. Showering becomes a struggle. Thinking becomes a struggle. It's just like you are so bogged down and beaten down because of the situation, because you care so much about somebody who wasn't the person that you thought they were, and when they left you, it completely changed. Like, this person completely changed. All of a sudden, you know, looks are valued over, you know, personality. Anybody can be smart. Anybody can pick up the GED book or graduate from high school and learn, you know, the instructions on how to live a successful American dream life. But honestly,
right,
it all has to do with someone's heart and personality. And I feel like this person has not gave me enough time or the person that he's currently with enough time. How do you heal from that? What?
Well, go ahead.
I mean, like, what do you do from that? Besides, what? Like, being, like, judgmental or giving judgmental advice or just probably giving advice based off of someone's, you know, personal opinion.
Well,
I mean,
first of all, you have to realize or understand that what I found is so many people get with people who complete them. And I always say, and I've said it a lot of times on the show, is that, and T, feel free to join in if you want, but a lot of times people are with people to complete them. And I always say, and I've said it on many of my prior shows, that you came into this world as complete as God wanted you to be. You want someone in your life who you can enhance each other. You complement each other, but you don't complete one another. That's number one. You're complete just as you are. Secondly, as you know, the elders used to say, love don't love no one who don't love you. Third, and one of the most important things, is that if you have any type of animosity or resentment against that person, you need to forgive them and say it to yourself. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I forgive them, until in your soul you mean it. Once you have gotten to that point where you can forgive and let go, that burden will start to lift. But as long as you're holding on to thin air, you can't move forward, because you're sitting there hugging that air, that tree made out of air that's not even there. So you can't move forward until then. So those are some of the things that you have to do. And then you have to learn how to love yourself. You know, I just released my second book, Silent Noise, and in it, it's healing poetry, but there's a piece. One thing you said was how people tell you, you know, they're judgmental and all of that. I did a piece called Just Let It Go, where people don't want to hear what you have to say. Just let it go. It's over. It's done with. Just move on. You know, that's fine until they find that problem is in their hands and on their plate. Then that's not an answer they would want anyone to give to them.
And then, you know, without getting into everything and all of that, just to give you some idea of my abuser, when I was with him, you know, he did everything but kill me. And in the end, when we were divorced, I was left penniless, but he had to go. And I'm at rock bottom now, but I forgive him. I forgive him for all the hurt and the pain and for leaving me the way he did and in the situation that I was in. I forgive him. I forgive the person that's right here in my own neighborhood, in my own backyard. I had to forgive her, too. And some of the women didn't even know that he was married. Things like that. You have to let all that go. And once you do and you get that clear mind, then you start working on loving yourself again. You have to learn how to love yourself. And just like I told T earlier, is the fact that get yourself some bubble bath, get some candles, light that candle. If you have children, when they go to bed on the weekend, late at night, light those candles, get into a hot tub, and just clear your mind. Clear your mind of all the clutter. Get rid of all of that. And just learn how to love you again. Learn how to love you, because it's all about loving and taking care of you. And once you do that and you realize just how precious you are, the next time it comes around, you'll be ready to make a better decision about it all. But you have to forgive. You have to learn how to love you. And then, you know, and you'll be ready to move on. But that's how I heal through my hurt, and mine is still fresh. I've only been divorced. It was a year on December 21st. And each year I try to do something at that milestone, because as I was telling T, the bottom line is, when I'm sitting here talking to you all doing this show, it's helping me to heal. And a lot of times communication is one way to heal. You heal by talking, by communicating, by letting it go. But right now, you need to let him move on. Don't worry about what he's doing with the other woman. Don't worry about what he's doing. And you know, in the event that his life falls apart, you know what? Love don't live at your address anymore. The bottom line is, learn how to love you and to forgive him and move on. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, because it's not. And I'm not saying you're not going to feel a need to cry or hurt from time to time, because you will. But each day will get easier. As long as you keep looking forward and putting one foot in front of the other, you're going to feel better with each and every day. That's how, you know, the basic healing through hurt goes. Now, depending on the specifics in your situation, you know, each person's situation is different. Some people may need more help outside of trying to do this self-help thing, but it all depends. But it sounds to me like you're pretty much someone who's pretty strong, but you need to get back to loving you and taking care of you. And once you get back to that and let him go and forgive him for walking out of however it happened, forgive him and forgive yourself. Because if you're carrying around any blame on yourself, you have to let that go. So it's about forgiving all the way around and loving yourself, learning to love yourself. And if that means getting into a support group or finding people who can help, then that's what you do. But it's one day at a time. And in some cases, I always tell people, for me, it's 1 minute at a time. Because there have been days when I have really felt like throwing in the towel, literally. But, you know, when you have people, who are you going to tell? Because the first thing, like you said, they become judges. I wouldn't do this. And people kill me telling me about what they would do and how they would respond to something they know absolutely nothing about. And I always say, until you've been there, you don't know what you would do. Nobody does. And people who've been textbook junkies, don't tell me what your textbooks told you. I need to know that you see me and that you understand and you feel what I'm saying. And some people can't do that. But the biggest thing is to find people, just like with T, of like mind, like interest, who've been there, done that, who can help you and listen to you when you need that listening ear. Because a lot of times people just need someone to hear them. If you need to vent and you want to cry and lash out, well, not lash out per se, but if you want to yell and get it out of your system, then that's what you need to do. But the biggest thing is to forgive yourself, forgive him, and then learn how to love yourself. Whatever makes you happy. And I don't mean do things unhealthy like go sit at the table and eat 27 gallons of ice cream and all of that, and then you'll end up on another unhealthy scale that will make you more unhappy and depressed or whatever, you know, that may lead you to, and other health issues. I mean, do things that help you to keep your motivation up and your stress level down. And everybody's different, because what works for me in that respect may not work for you. So, you know, I think that's the beginning. And then once you get that type of clarity about it yourself, then everything else comes into place, because you'll know what you need to do that's going to make you happy. Are you there? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
But, T, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Just listening to what you have to say.
You can add to it. You know, I don't have all the answers.
I've been there. I was in a situation similar, but I was on the opposite side. I was dealing with a guy who previously was with a lady who was they had two children, and they they were planning on getting married. However, when I came along, they were broken up, and he was in his dating. He was in his dating stage, and we met, and I was the woman who he was trying to get married to. And I started realizing that the guy I was with, he tried to find women who could help him succeed. Like, he didn't have nothing going on for himself, so he targeted certain women. And, God opened my eyes and I realized that, and I got out of a situation like that. But I always took into consideration what his previous, girlfriend went through. And I always wanted to get a chance to talk to her. But, of course, he always tried to keep us separate and, no communication. But what I can say is that you're not with him for a reason. And in due time, you will find out.
Right.
I would just like to say that I think I already found out why I'm not with him, but it just makes me sick to my tongue that I can't believe, like, the stuff that I actually blocked out. For years, I was in denial. I don't know why I was in love with this person. I don't know. I guess it was something that he did for me. It was something that he did for me, but this person is sadistic. Why would you throw, physical features in someone's face? And like you said, he was looking for someone to help him succeed. Now, this person, he wasn't poor, but he wasn't rich either. He had a family with a little bit of money. They own a restaurant. That was about it. A diner or something. But this girl somehow is some foreign bride that he supposedly hired or married on the internet, and, has lots of money wherever they come from. So, yeah, he pretty much tried to climb the corporate ladder, slither his way up the corporate ladder without, any hard work. Like, you know, hard work. I mean, struggles like regular people go through, like people who don't have a clue on who to trust in order to become successful in life. That wasn't him. He's actually one of the con artists, like millions of people out here that can con people or, you know, sweet talk someone into believing a story or so and going with it. A lot of people are being taken advantage of by people like him, especially women. He's a womanizer. I don't care how long you stay with someone and cook and clean and take care of their children and have one with them of their own. You are what you are. The skin of a snake can shed, but the lining, it stays the same.
There you go.
Yeah. But, you can go.
No, but you're not alone in that respect, because even with my ex, and I was the wife, but he made the choice that it was easier for him to go back out there to his old life and con all these women, get their money, BS them, roll over to the next one, because he said, and this is what he told me, he said, you know, there's a lot of women out there. His targets were older women. And he said, you know, their biological time clocks have gone, they've fallen off the wall, and they've been picked up by the trash person, and they're looking for something. He knows what they need to hear. He cons them, he talks to them, he sweet talks them, they write him a check, they give him their money or whatever. He rolls out until he needs them again. Mm-hmm. And that life was simpler to him than being a real man taking care of a family.
Mm.
So, and he was bold enough to say it, you know.
Mm.
You know, so me, I was the wife, period. I mean, not the wifey, I was the wife. You know,
what is the
wife
and wifey? What is that difference?
You know, the wifey is they're not really married. They're making pretend.
Mm.
That's the make pretend wife. That's almost as bad as, you know, these women living in la la land. That's another part of the con. Oh, yeah, I'm the wifey. You know,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No. Either you're a wife or you're not.
Mm-hmm. And
you know,
will,
this is part of their con.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it was simpler for him because he had no responsibility, took no responsibility for anything. So it was easy. It was easy because a lot of women out here forgot what it meant to be ladies. And they, I'll take your man. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really?
Men are like large children. I just realized something. They don't care about anybody but themselves. All they care about is someone who would listen to their dirty little filthy problems, and whoever does it the best wins for that moment, and then they'll go and run off and find someone new.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, what you were saying about the wifey and the wife is absolutely completely true. You said it as best as you could, and tell you that you are the wifey, and so you take the role of an actual wife, but they refuse to get married to you, and but you are responsible. You have to take care of the responsibilities, and it's supposed to boost your self-esteem to be called the wifey. That has some type of status, and I, you know, was telling my ex-boyfriend, I was like, you know, I'm tired of living my life, you know, in sin. And I feel like I wasn't married, ready to get married, but I was, you know, suggesting it. And he was like, well, I'm not ready for that. And, you know, after we broke up, he was telling me that because he's hurt by the breakup, he's going to start, you know, having sex with women and doing the same thing that your ex-husband was talking about doing, and it works for them. And I just pray that, you know, that God protects the women that he comes in contact with, because that's just horrible. And it's just, I don't know what's, like, the new thing going on. Like, these men, they don't want to be men nowadays. They want to they want it to come easy. Boys I see down here, all you got to do is be a man and find a girl and you can move in with her, you could drive a car, you can have the world without working or lifting up one finger. So that's like the new trend. You find a woman with money and you use her until you can't no more. And that's what most men, I mean boys down here are doing. Like, so many of my friends have guys who just simply mooch. I mean, they haven't, I mean, the girls are going out working two to three jobs to provide for, you know, themselves and the guy. And, I mean, he doesn't have to contribute to one single bill in the house. All he has to do is look good and do his manly duties, I guess. And he's just scot-free. And it's just like, it's so disappointing because, I mean, that's the goal of guys now. It's
but crazy. They won't, in the end, they won't respect a woman for that, because I learned this from experience. The guy that I'm talking about now is just like that. And I was the woman who would support him. He wouldn't have to do anything. He won't respect you. He want a woman who is strong, who could stand up for themselves, who can provide for their family, not them. And some of these guys don't understand that. They're not real men if they're trying to live off a woman. They don't understand the concept of, you know, 50-50 or, you know, contributing to a relationship, which is, you know, the dirtbags. They'll learn it in the end. This is why they're never going to be successful in a relationship, a real relationship, because they have this mentality that thinks the women are supposed to pick up the check and take care of everything while they do nothing because of their looks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
But that's across the board, though. That's in every age group. Because like I told T earlier, I'm 48. And my ex was 2 years older than me. So it's what they're doing across the board. But again, it comes down to women and their self-esteem. And see, I know that my ex would find people's weaknesses, and he would break down their self-esteem. With me being someone of a darker hue, he knew that when I grew up, people always made fun of me because I was darker and this and that. So he tried that trick, and if you go on YouTube and look up, again, Healing Through Hurt, I put up some of his phone messages after I, you know, let him know he didn't have a home anymore. I told him to tell that thing he was laying next to in Virginia when he was supposed to be away on a specific trip. I told him, tell it to get him a truck, because his stuff was outside waiting for him, and I was nice enough to put it in my truck so that it wasn't in the elements. But, yeah, I said, oh, you want to leave me voice messages? Well, I can take those to court, dummy. But, you know, work for me. But so many women don't have any self-esteem. They don't love themselves. Mm-hmm. So instead of them getting an electric blanket, they'd rather have this cream of the crap piece of junk keeping them warm at night for whatever reason. If that's all that he can give you is a warm body next to you in your bed that you paid for, you know, if you're that cold, turn up the heat or get an electric blanket. But really?
Mm-hmm.
And women don't seem to understand that. And I have more people even now. Why didn't you want to stay with him? Oh, he was nice looking. Oh, he seemed nice. He seemed this. What? And I said, let me ask you this. What does an abuser look like?
You can't tell. They look like, regular. They look like regular people, but, you know, they're a whole psycho when you get them alone. They just turn psycho, or when they feel like they've been threatened, or they feel like, you know, they are the inferior one, they launch and they attack.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, this your place, this your house. Why don't you put my name on it? Well, because you didn't help me buy it, fool.
Yeah.
You know, if we're married and we're a couple, how about we get a house? You going to sell this one so we can get the money? No. This is my house. This is an investment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move into our own. You know, but a lot of women like to go and boast to their girlfriends, yeah, my man this and my man that, not knowing that half the women that they boasting to probably creeping with them too.
Mm. You can say that.
You know,
can
it's
I
across the board.
About the whole thing with men And you mentioned something earlier about these men being dirty, because they are dirty, and they won't marry any wife. They're pretending to wife these darker-skinned women up or African-American women. I've met 5 men in the past 3 years, a couple Mexicans, couple African-Americans, and a few Caucasian men. Now, the only reason why they date African-American women because they know African-American women have low self-esteem, and it makes them feel like somebody when they prey upon African-American women. They can act and play and treat them like queens for a moment or a month and disappear. And African-American women be so, 180 that, by the time their heads spin and they realize that these men that are not of color are playing them and going and wiping up people of their own race, they're furious, but it's too late. They're already gone. We need to get smarter. We need to stop, accepting these, nicer or sexier or appealing-looking, non-African-American men in our beds, in our homes. Keep them away from us. I don't really encourage interracial dating because from what I learned from it, it's wrong. It's a tactic to brush up the ego of a white man or a man of another race who feels like, he's inferior or he's pretty much, he's not dominant of a white man. I'm sorry, because every other race that comes to America pretty much believes that the dominant one is the one that owns the banks or on your television screen or on your newspaper. So everyone pretty much look up to them, males, I'm saying. So they learn African-American girls are, it's this weird thing going on the Internet. They're saying black women are more fertile, they're freaky, they'll do anything. So whenever someone feels like having a good time, they'll go to an urban strip club or try to pick up an African-American child or teen or, a young adult and just have, casual sex with them or one night stand and drop them back off at the corner like trash.
Mm-hmm.
But, in the same breath, me being, I can call myself an international lady. I probably dated every known, there's only a few ethnicities that or ethnic origins that I have not dealt with, and some of them I will not. But I think that it comes down to, first of all, we as women knowing how to say no. You don't jump into bed the first night you meet someone, or the second for that matter. And they have to prove to you and you to yourself and to them, hey, I'm a lady. Treat me like one. Secondly, there's good and bad in every single race out there. And I think that in some cases, no matter what the color of the person, we are so used to dealing with that same type of individual, doesn't matter what his color is, we're still going to go out there and get the same person that we had, the same type personalities, type everything, no matter what he looks like. We're going to get that person that's going to treat us the same way until we learn how to break that cycle. And I think that's where the problem comes in. And let me cut off for a second. For those of our guests in the chat room, we have a few minutes left in the live show, but if you call in now, when the show ends, it will continue, and then you will be able to hear the show in its entirety when it archives, when we end the show. But the show, you can still listen to the after show if you call in. If you're online, when the show ends on air, we will still be chatting on this topic for a little while longer, but you have to call in so you can still hear us live. And if you don't want to call in, of course, you can hear the show in its entirety when it ends and it's archived. But with that said, before we go off air, as always, let me let you all know, you can always give us a call. Oh, we have another caller coming on. Caller 1086, I'll bring you on in one moment. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio, presented by the Wall Foundation. On Twitter, we're the Wall_Foundation. That's Wall_Foundation. If you want to write to us, we're at Post Office Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133, or give us a call at 202-618-2556. And with that said, we're going to bring on another caller, caller 1086. 1086, we're going to welcome you to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. And as always, thank you to all of our guests in the chat room and in the call query. If you want to continue to listen to the show, give us a call, 646-478-4726. You will be able to listen to the call after we go off air live, which is in about 5 minutes, but you will be able to hear the show in its entirety when it archives when we do end the show. We're going to still be online for a little while longer when we go off air because I had scheduled this to be an hour and a half show online, but we will have more time off air. So if you want to continue listening, give us a call, 646-478-4726. We're going back to our call line now, and we're going to welcome caller, oh gosh, okay, caller 1086. I had a problem there connecting. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Taylor from New Orleans. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Outstanding. I've seen your show and read the description, and I hadn't come in to really hear the topic, but I saw that it said, if you wanted to speak a poetic expression, that's kind of what I do. I do spoken word to try and invoke a message into people. So that's what I brought with me.
Oh, okay. Well, if the ladies don't mind, you are our first gentleman caller for the evening, so we're going to give our conversation a break, and we're going to let you do a piece for us, and go ahead anytime you're ready.
Okay, it's called Extinguished. If anger were a flame, then I would be a forest fire. And it wouldn't be enough, I want my rage to rise higher. I'd still hunger for the oxygen beyond our atmosphere, beyond our galaxy, into some other planet's ozone just to quench my thirst. I would wash away the dead's low temperature, spark them to life, raise them to be, and then hit them with my very worst. Because I am the epitome and physical entity of infuriation. I am the runaway slave that came back and set fire against the plantation. I am the rebel rising with Molotov cocktails against the nation. I am iron, melted into a spear, aimed so perfectly that it strikes everyone in sight, defying physics power and setting such fear in the sun that I bring night. I am the fist of justice, outside of the jury and the judge. I am the black hole of hate, inhaling any doubt to the reason I hold my grudge. I am the never-ending, ever-defending definition of what is a righteous kill, with such an evoked power that even the gods in awe stand still. And when I run out of places to burn, I start to burn souls. You see, the taste of their fuel exceeds oxygen, so I burn harder, watching my rage take the toll. And as their tears evaporate from the burning hate I integrate within, disgust is the last thought that stays with them to the very end. Disgust with their peers, with their elders and their young, discuss with the world, with its slowness to act, with its ease of the tongue. And I feel it. And I wonder how they could have lived in such despair, always screaming and shouting how life isn't fair as if they didn't care. And I wonder how it felt to end in such a state, to be so angry, so enraged, and so irate. And I weep. I weep for the lost times that love could have had. I weep for their belief that good was outweighed by the bad. I weep for the daughters whose last time with their father was a fight. I weep for the sons who never said I love you after goodnight. For the leaps that fear took away. For the adults who said not to play. For the sons so in fear of my spear that did not think to fight and stay. I wept until the raging color of white fire sifted into blue. I wept until the red and orange took over the hue. I wept until the fire simmered and smoke was all that remained. I wept because life is far too beautiful be spent in misery and in pain.
And that's true. Life is far too too. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Deep.
Wow. That was deep.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yep. And what was your inspiration for that?
I get that question a lot with my poetry. The world. I mean, it's just the world. It's just the observations that I made in my lifetime. Nothing more.
Hmm.
Wow. Well, I thank you for sharing that, because that was powerful. Have you called in before?
I may have. I couldn't say.
Oh, okay.
I really couldn't. I usually call in for things, my two biggest topics, or my three, I guess, would be war, relationships, and race.
Mm-hmm.
War being in the Navy, and understanding sometimes why it exists, even as terrible as it is. Relationships, because so many people these days don't even know what one is, or what one should be, and race, because as your conversation was kind of proving to me, is still something that is quite evident, and
mm-hmm.
I think that part of the problem is that it is. Part of the problem is that we look at someone on the street and we say, you see the guy over there? Which guy? The black one, the white one, you know. As if people were so identical, we had to do that. As if we had to write on a form anything but prefer not to respond. As if it defined us in some way, or that we had earned our colors. So you may have.
Right. Right. Are you in officer's school or something?
No, I'm.
That's not you.
No, I'm the one who's going special forces, and
that's
a little
it.
Over
special
eight.
Forces.
Yeah.
Special right. forces. I have spoken with you before.
Okay.
Okay. I remember.
Well, I apologize for not remembering.
Oh, don't worry. You know, it's so weird because a lot of times I do remember a lot of my callers. So it's been a while, but I know that you're a younger gentleman, and I believe you had shared some of your poetic pieces before, but you're a young gentleman that's very deep in thought for your age. But yeah, I remember.
I'm 20, but age only matters if you're wine or cheese. That's
yeah.
something I'll always defend.
But I remember, I think you were like 19 or something. Yeah, so you're 20 now. So, yeah.
I think I've been on BTR since I was 16.
Maybe last year.
Maybe.
Yep.
Well, longer than that, because I'll be 21 in March, in about a month. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well. It's always good when you call and you're memorable, so I remember you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling in this evening, and feel free to call back the fourth Saturday of every month. We have our Poetry Corner Cafe.
That's
so,
when I call in. That must be it.
That's when... Yeah, you called when I did the inaugural show, and that was a couple months ago. And then last week, we actually started it as a regular program. So, yeah, I remember you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you sound the first gentleman on your show. It's a topic, something that you want a man's opinion on. I didn't really catch what you were talking about.
Ladies, that would be an interesting spin right now, because we're talking about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two young ladies on the line, and we were talking about relationships and how men would prefer to be moving from woman to woman. We seem to all, each one of us, well, I'm like the matriarch in the bunch, and we are talking about men and how obviously no matter the age group nowadays, they'd rather move from woman to woman, tell these women all these lines, pull a con on them, take their money, their time, sleep in their homes, and then move on to the next person. And some kind of way, some of us good women, we're left out here in the cold, whether it be a broken marriage or, you know, long-term relationship or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing, number one, the way that the men are doing this con, but we were just about to get into, I was about to introduce how we as women are allowing it to happen. So I'm sure as a young man.
Are they still on the line?
Yes,
yeah.
They're here.
Okay. Well, then I hope they listen closely, because the first thing I have to say of that is that the people that you're talking about are boys. children. They're not men. And I always hate hearing, you know, men do this, men do that. No, those are boys. And there's a very big difference, not just a vocabulary one. A man is someone who knows that life is about joy, not pleasure. He understands that it's about a relationship and a mad, passionate love, not one-night stands. He knows those things mean nothing. And I think the solution to all of these problems that you're talking about, whether it be with, you know, getting dumped because you're being used for sex, whether it be you don't agree on finances, you don't agree on principle things, you don't agree on raising children or having children or anything like that. The solution to it all is, you know, to say hello, because, you know, they may marry you or they may ignore you, but, you know, the possibility of that is worth that one word. And from there, you have to be vulnerable. You have to have those conversations. You have to establish that emotional intimacy. You have to say, you know, how you feel. There's no point in asking what your favorite color is. I mean, it's all fine to include in the conversation, but, you know, people talk about that's what the first date should be like. You know, you're asking trivial things. No. When I go on first dates, I ask, you know, what do you love? What are your passions? You know, what do you want to do when you get older? Where do you see yourself? I mean, I don't make it an interview kind of thing, but those are the things I'm interested in. You know, what parts of the world do you want to see? Those are the things that are important. Those are the things that really establish that emotional intimacy. Those are the things that really matter, the passionate things that people have. And once you get past that, you know, maybe you like the girl, you kiss her. Maybe you just hold hands, you know. You're progressing. You're supposed to take it slow. Then, you know, after having all these conversations, after deciding and falling in love with one another, whether you can help it or not, and being madly and passionately in love with one another, then you have sex, and only then. Because then you risk having a child, for one, which is a great deal in itself. It doesn't matter if you're wearing condoms. It doesn't matter if you're on birth control. It doesn't matter if he has a vasectomy. The only thing you can do to avoid having a child and having sex is to have a hysterectomy, which few women have, and that's the removal of all your inner organs. And that's important. And you can never be as close to someone as when you're inside them, when you have sex. And that, I think that's important. So if we did that, if we progressed from emotional intimacy to physical intimacy, or at least paralleled the two when we began relationships, and we kept ourselves open to getting hurt, because that's the only way you'll fall in love, is to be open.
Oh, my God.
And I think all those problems would be solved. And if you get hurt, if someone manipulates you, so what? It's going to happen. It's part of life. You move on. You try and find someone who won't hurt you. And when you find them, it won't matter what happened before. The past will be the past. It'll be a different country. So.
Okay.
True.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times we're doing it backwards. So many people are jumping into the sex before they have that
Correct.
Other connection in
yes.
place, and that's what's ruining things.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that think that's impossible, I'm 20 years old, almost 21. I'm in the United States Navy. I've had several relationships, and I have very few bad things to say about those relationships or about those women in particular. Been in love once, and when I was 18, I dated a 25-year-old girl who was just beautiful. She had like hair like Shakira. She used to be a cheerleader. It was wonderful. One of the worst temptations I ever had. And I'm not religious, yet I'm still a virgin to this day, and choicefully so, because I recognize that love is the true precedent for having sex with someone. I mean, it's not worth it if you're not in love with someone. And for the girl that I was in love with, one night we had been on and off, and one night she wanted to, and I said, you know, no, doesn't feel right. And she stopped talking to me for 3 months, so I'm quite glad that I didn't go ahead and do that. So, I mean, for those who say it's impossible, trust me, it's the hardest thing in the world, especially with, you know, I'm just, you know, in awe of some of the beauty of women, the curves and everything. Trust me, I've got a lot of hormones going on, but I can do it, and anyone can.
That's deep.
That's true.
It's really amazing to see, you know, that because we live in a society where, you know, sex is glorified and everybody is doing it backwards. And I feel like that's the issue now. It's people having sex before the before it's time. And I feel like that, you know, that brings up, that starts up feelings where you don't, instead of getting to know the person, your emotions are into it, so you don't think properly. And before you know it, the person, when you really get to know the person, you realize that they're really, not the person who you wanted them to be. And it's too late because your emotions is tied up in it. And, throughout my, years of coming up, I realized that that must stop. That's why I chose to go celibate. Because most of the time, you'll realize at the end of it, the person never really loves you. And it was a waste of time, and you can't get time back. So it's just truly, I really am happy that I got a chance to hear that you're saving yourself, because that's, like, awesome.
I'm glad to hear the same from you. I think that anyone who, and I've had women who try to have sex as early as the first date, I politely escort them out and tell them to go home, the point, if anyone who ever, this is the way to look at it, anyone who's willing to have sex with you so early on has no business having a relationship with you. That's not the kind of man you're searching for. So I don't want to say trap them into, seeing what they do or don't do. I don't want to encourage people to bait people. But, I mean, that's the situation it is. It was once described to me as like sharing a part of your soul. Every time you had sex with someone, you were sharing a piece of your soul. And the more that you had sex with, the less soul you had left for yourself. And I'm not a particularly spiritual person, but I found that to be very accurate. And it doesn't matter if it's just your virginity, like me. I think each time you have sex is truly important. It's not, and a lot of people think that, I've already lost my virginity, what's the point now? May as well go out, all out, may as well do whatever I want. No, it's never too late to take a stand for yourself and have some self-respect for yourself.
True. Wow. Well,
I'm shocked. I'm really glad to hear it, because I was starting to think that, a man over the age of 18 being a virgin was something impossible. But the issue that we deal with, I'm 23, in our generation and old, and different generations, what can we do to show people that having sex before it's time can really harm you in a sense?
You point out to them all the problems, point out to them the things that I'm pointing out to you now, that it's truly the source of your problems, that it's not a necessity, that it's...
Is my mic still on?
Yes.
Okay, because I wanted to say something.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was younger men like this that exist. Let me tell you what happened a couple weeks ago. This is why I don't like older men. I don't want them near me. I don't want them touching me. They disgust me. I'm talking about older men. I'm talking about 40 to 80-year-old men. They nasty. Anyway, I had this man.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
So I had this old man who was supposed to be a private taxi driver for a company. He works for a company. So I hired somebody to, take me, to my appointment to go to. And the cab was unavailable, so they actually called a private cab company. Supposedly he worked for a cab company. And I decided I wanted to sit in the back seat because I thought it was appropriate because I don't know this person. Why would I sit in the front seat of a private cab company anyway? It's just inappropriate. So he was trying to spark up a conversation, and I kept knocking him down because I didn't want to get to know him. So eventually, when I started to open up, this old man came rolling home. That was a joke. Anyway, he wanted to know too much. And I'm like, excuse me,
first of all, like, I didn't want to be ignorant, but I didn't also want to, you know, tell a bunch of my problems to an old man anyway, because I'm not interested in an old man. I'm not even 30 yet. And second of all, like, I don't, he's creepy. Old men creep me out. They just want to have sex and just have sex to everything. They're worse than young men. They're worse than little boys. They're just nasty. And what irks me the most is they look like aliens underneath all the clothes. So,
oh, my goodness.
He was like, what do you want in life? I said, a tummy tuck and a breast lift. And you can't get that for me because, A, you work for a cab company, and, B, you're not interested in anything but getting a touch foot. Excuse me, I'm not cursing, but, you know, touch, feel, and have sex to me, and no, I'm not interested. So stop trying to sell me something that you can't afford yourself. So with this, he said there's no young boys like the young man that's online right now. Unbelievable. I wish he was in this conversation. I wish he could actually hear what, you know, we're all just witnessing now. He's full of filth, just like every other old man, every other dirty old alien-like slinky, full of skin, crust and crevice, old, nasty, trying to have sex, nasty, dirty man. Just nasty. Like, why would I want to have sex to you? Like, why are we even talking? Like, I know what his motive was. Well, he thought I was some little stupid girl. He thought I was somebody who was stupid, who was lonely. I'm lonely, but not desperate. There's a difference. And like I told him, I put him in his place. I said, first of all, no. How would I look bringing an old man home to my mother and her husband? You're the same age as my mom. You're the same age as my step-pop. I'm not bringing you home. I don't even want to conceive the thought of laying in a bed next to you. I don't even want to conceive the thought of holding your hand. Let me out of the car.
It happens.
They're creepy. They're dirty. They try to fill your head up with, and the thing about old men is they're senile. They have a preterm senile syndrome or whatever it's called, because they forget things, and they either ignorant or they don't really care about anybody but themselves. They could have a wife at home, and they could still be looking at a teenage young girl trying to fill them up, or he could be the whole mailman and just trying to talk. And I'm like, you're old. Don't you look in the mirror when you wake up? You're gray. You're old. You have a belly that's bigger than a 9-month pregnant woman, and you're just old. Like, it's just nasty. First of all, who want to have sex with somebody 30 years their age, 40 years their age, 60 years their age? You look silly. And first of all, no, your dress attire is not right. You're dressing like a 14-year-old child who's still into, you know, hip-hop music or just, you know, getting through a child phase. These men need to separate themselves from boys and put their mentality back into the body that they were born with or the body that has become. I'm sick and tired of seeing these men of age. I'm not talking about 30-year-old men. I'm talking about men that are well out of their 30s, close to 60, close to 50. They're geriatric. They're old. And it irks my nerves because they say boys like him or men like him does not exist. They exist. We're listening to it. It's real. It's just that they are just creepy. They have weird, creaky little witch-like fingers, and they want to poke and touch you, and they're weird. Imagine that. Imagine a creepy old man with a wheelchair skirting around your house talking about some, where's my soup? I'm like, ew, I'm not an RN, and I'm not a CNA, and no, you're not my boyfriend.
Well, if I can tell you my experience, I actually have where I work at. My coworker is 50 years old, and he says, like, he talks about sex and all kinds of nasty things that I don't want to picture. And, you know, of course, he tries to come on to me because I'm young. And he tells me things that really disturbs me. He finds young women, and he has sex with them. And it's because, you know, he gets a nice lump sum of a nice paycheck, and he pays for things. And it's just, and I feel like, you know, it's really sad. Like, I want to change the world so bad, but I know that I can't. But he pays young girls, like 18, to do sexual acts with him for money. And I called him a trick. And, you know, he
should have called him a child molester.
Yeah, and I
asked pretty much.
And I told him, I said, you don't feel weird? You have a daughter that was born on the same day as me, but she, you know, she's 30 and I'm 20. I'm 23, and you're telling me you're having sex with 18-year-olds 19-year-old, 20-year-old, and you're trying to have sex with me, and you have a daughter older than me, that doesn't make you feel weird? And he would say, no, you're not my daughter. And I was like, you know, that's really deep. And it's just like, you know, I pray, and I'm just like, what's going on, like, with these guys? Like, it's just so hard to, like, just find someone that, you know, understands what, you know, I'm not sure what his name is, but, you know, just certain things like that, like turning down sex, like escorting a woman to the door and she's trying to come on to you, they would probably call the guy down here gay. And I'm like, I don't see nothing wrong with that. That's the problem. Like, it's just so backwards down here. Like, and I'm so upset because, you know, I was taught right. But then, you know, you got that peer pressure and I got older and just, you know, and I forgot, you know, how it was supposed to be because society kept telling me it's supposed to be like this and it's not. And people don't realize the damage that they do to themselves when you have sex. You find yourself having sex with one person, and then after that person, you looking for someone to replace them. And then it's just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. And they all read in that manual on how to live the American dream. They all, these guys are, they're slithery, creepy, dirty, full of filth, nasty con artists who are smart, who pretty much know how to pick up the tricks and the trades of how to sleep with as many women you can, regardless if you're unattractive, fat. Unfortunately, it doesn't work for fat, bald, old guys. Sorry. Anyway, they're
yeah,
just
but
nasty.
Men, you can't tell men that, though, but one thing that I've learned is that men are just as, you know, they have self-esteem issues that are paramount in comparison to most women. So these men will go out there and find these young girls or these younger women, you know, in my case, you know, like our other caller said, you know, like I said, my ex is like going on 51 years old. And I'm like, but his target are women who are well into their 60s. And I'm like, these 60-year-old women were out there when he was still in his mid-40s. And I'm like, why? And it's the same principle. It's like, you sisters need to stop the madness. So again, this is such a two-way street across the board, because even these creepy old men wouldn't do it if the women wouldn't allow them to do it, other than forcing themselves on them, and that makes it rape, you know.
Well, it's still mental rape when they use a tactic to try to beat a girl down self-esteem-wise so they can get into her underwear. These sadistic,
right.
You know, these men are sadistic. They're retarded and crazy and just.
But you know what?
Creepy.
That's what we need to speak up. We need to speak up, and we have to have more programs out here for young girls, because the problem is the young girls don't have anyone out there teaching them, because most of these old heads, and I'm talking about older than me, and I know you all consider me old, and I'm 48, you know, I'm a grandmother, but people don't even know it, because I'm out here, and my nemesis are people that are in their 60s. And these women out there that in their 60s are no better. They're out there trying to get any man that I'm with.
We need laws in place. We need laws that, you know, contribute as felonies. Like, say if somebody reported a man they seen that was twice as older than a girl, it should be considered like, you know, like a fraud case. It's a felony. So if you see someone with someone young, call a hotline, get them reported, and remove them from the imminent danger. It should be some sort of law put in place that forbids men 20 to 30 years older to date someone. I don't care if they're 18. It's still statutory rape. It should be a law involved that says if you're older, stay in your pool. If you're younger, stay in your pool. You can't date past the age of 35 if you're 20, if you're 22 or if you're 19. And if you're, you know, you're older, you're 30s, you can't date younger than 21. It should be some sort of law like that. So it prevents younger teens or preteens from having sex with older men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but while we're waiting, because you know how the legal system works, we need to start, those of us who have that self-esteem and who have that assurance and we're stronger and we know the game, we need to start making sure that the people that are closest to us, the young girls in our families or people that we're closest to, we need to start educating these girls because, like I said, my nemesis are these old heads, so they're too busy. These older women are too busy out here trying to act like they're 22 and trying to get these men, any man, to warm their bed. So they don't care who they're stepping on. They don't care. It's okay that this man has a woman and children at a house across town. Right now, you know, he's with her. So she doesn't care about that.
Sure.
She's not thinking about what the hell happens when it hits the fan and all this comes out into the light. And we lost our male caller, too. And because the show is in the after show, he can't get back on. But I may do this again next week. If you all want to call back in next week and we'll do part two to this, it would be great because we're on to something here. And the more shows that I can do where I can put them up and have young ladies listen to these and download them and use them in my programs, they need to hear this from people other than me. I'm fine. I can talk to anybody. Young people love to talk to me. We have a great rapport, but it's so much better when they hear it from people who are in their own age group. And it's weird because when I talk to the girls that are 16 and 18, they think that people in you all's age group is ancient. And it's just the weirdest thing. So there's this big gap here, but if we're all on the same page and they say, well, oh, my goodness, if Maria's saying it and Maria's older and she's like the matriarch and then you have a 23-year-old saying it and a 26-year-old or 27-year-old saying it, it's like, people, you're going to be coming up against this no matter what age group you're in. So you have to be prepared for that. And that comes back to loving yourself. We have to love ourselves enough to know that we are better than going into the back of a taxi cab or whatever to sleep with some greasy old pot-belly pig that wants to get his rocks off.
And that's just horrible because he stinks.
Yeah, and, you know, just to comment towards, you know, talking to 16 and 17-year-olds, I'm really, like, down with doing that because I remember when I was, 16 and 17, you know, I couldn't really talk to my parents about sex and stuff like that. And all I had was my friends. And we're going back a couple of years, you know, 2005, 2006. And I couldn't talk to my parents about it. So my friends were who I told, you know, who I can listen to. And, of course, they were having sex. And, you know, at the time I was going through a stage where, you know, you're trying to lose weight and, you know, just low self-confidence. And I happened to find a guy in an urban neighborhood in New Jersey, and he happened to be very good-looking, and most girls wanted him. And, you know, I ended up having sex with him, listening to my friends, and just trying to say, oh, I have that boy that everybody wants and to make me feel good. And then after going off to college, then that's when I had to try to replace him. And it's just been a journey. So I wish that, you know, I could talk to somebody back then, you know, who had some sense to tell me, you know, I don't think you should be doing that because it was repercussions. And I mean, I now know, but I wish somebody could have talked to me, and nobody did. So I had to learn the hard way. And, you know, and even though I learned a couple of years after that, but in a sense I didn't, because I was still doing the same thing. I just had a new boyfriend, and I never got a chance to learn who I was. And this is my time to really figure out who I am and how to love myself. I can always take care of someone better than taking care of myself. So I really think we should talk to younger girls because I don't want what happened to me to happen to them if I can prevent it. Because I was only doing it, I lost my virginity, it wasn't off of love. It was simply peer pressure from my friends and
you know, and I was 17. So, you know, I wish I can, I had that, you know, that talk to tell me, like, you know, you are a beautiful girl and you don't have to have this guy tell you you're beautiful because, you know, and that was all, that's basically what it was. And now I'm learning from it, but hopefully I can talk to other people and tell them that, you know, that's not the right, you know, the right way. And ironically, I just spoke to the guy a couple of days ago, and we had a discussion about that. And, you know, and he told me, he said, well, you know, I found out afterwards he was one of the biggest whores in New Jersey. And I said, you know, I didn't even know what you were about. He said, you knew what I was about. And I was like, no, I didn't. And that right there alone, like, I just wasted my time and gave my body to someone who is an idiot. So, I don't know. But I really want to talk to younger girls. That is one of the things I want to accomplish, you know, during this little journey, because I always wanted somebody that could lead. I always wanted a mentor, but could never find one. And if I can be someone's mentor and prevent them from making the same mistakes I have, I would love to.
Cool. Well, we lost our other caller, so I guess we'd better call it a night for tonight.
Yeah.
But for all of the people in the call query, thank you so much for sticking with us for our after show for What's On Your Mind. I do believe that we will have What's On Your Mind 2 next week so that we can hopefully get a good dialogue going again. And, of course, tell your friends, invite a friend to come on and talk about what's on your mind, whatever it may be. And as always, T, I'll talk to you in a few moments on Facebook, of course, but I always end the show with my infamous mantra. I pray each and every one of you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days, enough smile to turn that frown of yours upside down. But most of all, I pray each and every one of you enough strength and courage to face whatever may come your way this week and beyond. And as always, I am your gracious and humble host, Maria Wall, thanking you all for sticking with us tonight, T. It was great talking to you. I will get with you shortly on Facebook. And, of course, everyone, join us on Facebook at Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. I am there. I answer all of my correspondences myself. I return phone calls. I do it all. And, of course, if you need any help, you let me know in private message, and I will get you hooked up with whatever or whomever you need. And if I don't have it directly, I will get you that help. But again, T, it was so great talking to you. Thank you so much for calling. And thank you to all of our guests who are sitting here listening in on the show, on our after show. We will be back here next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And tomorrow morning, the Sunday morning meditation will be returning. That's our 15 minutes of stress relief and release. So until then, thank you all so much. We're going to end the show. I'm going to play a little bit from the CD that's been playing here in the background. It's our calming massage. I love this CD. It's great music. And I'll see you all back here tomorrow morning if you're going to be here for Sunday morning meditation. And if not, I'll see you back here next week on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, everybody be blessed. Have a great remainder of your weekend and try to have the very best week that you can have. With that said, T, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all of my guests this evening. And I will see you all back here soon. And again, this is Calming Massage, the CD. And it's one of my favorites. And we'll see you again soon. So thank you all.